Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, March 27th, 90th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Fortuna City Manager, short-termer indeed, Dwayne Riggi.
I don't like to be a short-termer, but yeah, my wife is now counting the days when I will be officially retired.
Yeah, but then you come back as a consultant until they find a replacement, so does it matter?
I don't know.
I see. It never having been in that situation before.
It does matter to her. So.
Yeah.
And it's important.
You can go in at 8:15, 8:30, and go home at 4, 4:30.
She knows if I go in, I don't come home. Oh, yeah.
That explains the shackle and the big long rubber band.
I just don't know when to quit and go back home.
This afternoon, we're talking a little bit about the budget, the impending budget for the city of Fortuna. We've heard about some of the things that are going on at the state level. Those birds are coming home to roost, as they say.
So
we'll talk about the condition of the rookery when we return.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dwayne Riggi, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Mark Twain.
Oh, yeah.
Said, quote, "To succeed in life, you need two things. Ignorance and confidence."
Oh, boy, that explains us so much.
Did that tee it up for you or not?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Something I wouldn't have appreciated when I was 20. Do now.
Oh, boy. Looking at the local budget for Fortuna.
Yes.
Is there a word that describes it?
It's
the upcoming budget, not the current.
Well,
budget.
I'm having conversations with my department heads, and they're not what we call uplifting. I can't get any. The general fund is going to be heavily impacted this year, and it's due to one major issue, and that's the Fortuna Redevelopment Agency, as long as every other redevelopment agency in California has been abolished by the Supreme Court. And although in our particular case, it seems like it has a fairly large impact on the city's general fund, and it's due for a lot of different reasons. Because our redevelopment agency was so small, it didn't have a staff of its own; it borrowed city staff, and there's other things that come out and play with that, including some other aspects. And I won't go through the great details.
No, but through the grace of God, you won't go through those details. You were right.
I'm preparing this budget and delivering some significant news. And since I've had some really tough budgets to put together, like most city managers do, and the consequences when things are down, not only does it affect the people that you have employed, but affects the community because the services that are behind that are what are going to go away. And the major general fund issues in most communities, in particular in ours, is police. About 50% of our general fund is spent on police services. And one of the things that our community enjoys is a fairly secure community, although we've had some recent incidents that have gotten people stirred, and rightfully so, because it's not the calm little village it was maybe even 10 years ago. But when you have that kind of a police department has that much of a budget, and you have to reduce 20% just overall. And I'm not a person that ever believed in a categorical across the board. You deal with it on a 1-1 basis. We're going to see a significant reduction in services to our community next fiscal year. It's going to be a drop of capital projects. It's going to be a drop of staff levels. It's going to be a drop in how we can accommodate the community's needs, including parks, which is another, you know, exclusively general fund expenditure. And we don't have any other tax base to fall back on.
So as you look at what 20% means, does that also make the allowances for the increasing cost of insurance, COLA, things along those lines, or is that a compounding factor on top of?
that's a compounding factor on top of, because the cost of doing business has been going up for, you know, it continues to grow, but it seems to grow exponentially lately, faster than revenue. The major revenue source for our general fund is sales tax. And sales tax is not necessarily a big, I mean, we're not the retail hub of the county, such as Eureka or even Arcata. And so the big ticket items that sell that make sales tax really flow for cities are things like automobile sales and what have you. And we've lost our last new car dealer. The Ford franchise is now been sold by Ed Tanfrani to Harper. And so we have used car sales, and that's an important part of it. Not that sales tax is the where-all, be-all, but right now our sales tax component, the biggest item in our sales tax component, comes from gasoline sales, fuel sales.
What about bed tax, Dwayne? Where does that rank on your priority? Because there's certainly a whole lot more capacity now than what there has been. And then with the new self-assessment district in play, I would think if that is successful in achieving their goals, is that bed tax dollars might go up, but it's not enough to offset what you're talking about.
We're not, bed tax makes up a roughly 15% of our general fund revenue, but we reinvest a portion of that back into our own facility, River Lodge, which is essentially there to not only serve the community but also the hospitality group. And also we share under a portion of that, a tenth of the TOT goes to our local Chamber of Commerce to encourage tourism and lodging in our city. But now, as you mentioned, this assessment district that the lodging industry has petitioned the Board of Supervisors to set up on a countywide basis is very intriguing. And our city council, Fortuna City Council, adopted a resolution last Monday that consents to having that assessment district within our jurisdiction. We see it, well, quite frankly, the city council sees it as a good thing, because the cost of that is being borne by the traveling public. But it will
also— other people's money, baby.
Well, it's easier to say that. But it does, because most of us who travel and stay in lodging facilities in, you know, more of the areas that you might think of, Monterey, Napa, what have you, these assessment districts have been in play for years, and that's how we learn and know about all of them, because that's where the money comes to draw more people in. But that grows more than just the lodging people. But no, TOT does not make up enough of that difference. And the other component to Fortuna is, before the advent of Prop 13 many years ago, back in the 70s, we were a low property tax city. And so when Prop 13 came into play, our portion of the property tax that's assessed, which is now a statewide formula, is significantly less than a lot of the other cities here in Humboldt County. So we're suffering from being frugal back when. And so property tax, although a component of our general fund revenue, it makes a very small portion of it. And so when I hear people tell me that, and I appreciate that I'm a property taxpayer too, is that, you know, we're contributing, but I said, you know, for every dollar that you're paying on your property tax, we get a little over 4 cents of it. It's hard to pay for things like, or to rely on, paying for services like police and parks and recreation programs based on that.
You want an analogy that you can use?
Yes.
It's tough to pay for the gas or take it to the bank when it's at 4%.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
KINS, News and Information Time is 4:23. We'll be back with more from Dwayne Riggi.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family.
We live it, we revere it, the Northwood spirit.
And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:27. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fortuna City Manager Dwayne Riggi. Dwayne, you laid it out pretty straightforward, non-emotional.
Well,
probably because it's in the very intro time of this, you're still kind of discussing in generalities. You don't see the impact, but your body language is giving different.
Oh, there's emotion anytime. I think any manager that's effective and knows whether I've been in private sector work, as you know, and anytime when you had a significant cutback of where you're going for whatever reason, you know it affects people's lives and their well-being, and it also creates instability, and that's not fun to watch. Yes, there's emotion here, but also you have to deal with it with what you have to deal with. If the dollar isn't there, you can't spend it.
So as you're looking at
really?
Oh, sorry. That's right. That's at the local level, not another level. Sorry.
Now, for state government,
I got confused for a moment.
Or federal
there.
Government, yeah. It's different. We can print more money for federal.
So, as you're looking at some of the amenities,
yes,
that the city currently offers, are there going to be impacts? I'm thinking of the parks, or the softball fields, and soccer fields.
Mm-hmm.
For them not to take any of the pain doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
I mean, just because.
Yeah.
So as you're looking at some of those types of things that are currently free service, I would think that the temptation is to hit it with a user fee more than what might already be in play. Can the city move quickly enough to sell, to get in the marketing business and sell, like the concession stand? Okay, sell it out, let somebody pay whatever it is, or, you know, like they do at the ballparks. If you're going to pull, I know you probably don't condone selling beer on the site, but let's say Budweiser wants to be there, you sell it. You sell the product, but you also sell the ability to sell. That.
You mean like naming sports?
No, not even naming it.
That's
you want to sell your product here.
I know.
We're going to get 10% of whatever you pull.
That's certainly not a different and a non-alien idea. I mean, it's happened before. Whether the Fortuna City Council would accept that as a way of doing business is yet to be seen.
Versus some of the other options, I would think at least it would be a discussion point.
If it comes down to if we're going to provide this service, we need to seek another revenue source, which is in this case franchising, or to lease it out for people to do this, that might become then part of the equation. And we've had these conversations in other types of basis with the city council over the last number of years, including fees. Our recreational programs are fairly intact because we charge a fee for cost. In other words, if it costs us a dollar to put this program on, we charge a dollar. But for park maintenance, all those things where the games are played and what have you, it's a general fund expenditure. I mean,
or mowing the lawn islands down the boulevard. You know, nobody's going to pay for that directly.
No. Nobody does.
Yeah, but that's still part of Parks and Rec.
But they'll call you almost every 3 days if it isn't done, and that's intriguing because it doesn't sound like a big deal, but yeah, it is a cost.
It's somebody probably for a day a week.
But you know, I've seen places where you know, certainly Caltrans picked up on it some years ago. You know, litter control under sponsorships of having your sign out there, whether you want to do it individually or by a business, I don't know if we're going to go out and put signs up saying this median maintenance is brought to you by, you know, fill in the blank. You can sponsor this median strip for a year for this much money. You know, it's a different way of doing government services. I don't think it's alien. I don't know if politically the community is ready for it.
So what would? Well, I guess after the break, we'll talk a little bit about some of the options and that are out there. KINS, News and Information Times, 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fortuna City Manager for the quarter, Dwayne Riggi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three more months.
Yeah, we'll do the countdown.
I'm saying that just for my wife, because now that she's retired, I'm sure she'll be watching. You know, as she's listening to the show, and I just want to reassure her that I haven't changed my mind.
Nobody's gotten to you yet.
No.
As you're looking at some of these, on average, 20% cuts to general fund areas.
That's the overall problem that I can't find a solution for.
There are the categorical fundings that come into play that are pretty much still intact.
Yes.
So as you're looking at this general fund hole.
It's a hole.
You got your cops.
Yeah.
You got Parks and Rec. Probably a little bit of pavement, public works.
There's the general services of the public works side. Yes.
Where will the regular guy or gal who lives in Fortuna feel the pain? Where's that 20% going to manifest itself? Where are they going to lose something that they're getting now?
Well, some things won't be manifest right away. If you want to have it, the maintenance of a park will be noticed almost immediately, because particularly, we've taken great deal of pride in our parks and get quite a bit of compliments. And as I mentioned earlier, is that people are not afraid to remind us that the grass looks a little tall and probably needs to be mowed. And some that we're mowing, you know, things in maintenance on a twice a week basis. So that will probably be the biggest effect. And those that enjoy the use of the parks, whether it's soccer, whether it's baseball, whether it's, you know, all those things, probably have the most direct. The ones that will are not everybody in the public is when you call and police cannot respond as fast as they've been able to in the past, or if it takes longer to respond to what we would consider a minor issue.
So you're looking at layoffs.
We're talking about reduction of staff.
Yeah.
I don't know any other way to say it. Guys
losing their jobs?
I don't like to use a radio to announce that, but we're looking for attrition.
So as you look at some of the options, I would imagine, because a lot of other cities have gone through it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a pretty well-worn path.
We're not unique, you know, but we've been from my perspective, been very, very good. And we have a reputation of being frugal and mindful of government spending that didn't need to be spent. We've never been known for spending money that didn't need to be spent. And so it's a matter of now setting priorities of what's the most important thing we have to do, to down to the bottom of the list of those things that are maybe nice to do, or, you know, and the nice to do's are the ones that will get, from my perspective, get on top of the list of being cut.
Are the easy things already done, Dwayne?
The easy things have been done for years. I mean, when you're an ongoing element of making sure that every dollar is doing what it's supposed to be doing, when you have a cut, everything is significant. Everything is significant. So it isn't like we had this big burst of affluence for the last 10 years and now we have to get back to our humble beginnings. We've been there all the time, and this is going to be a setback, because the public won't understand why we can't deliver a service that they used to get on a regular basis.
Do you really think that there's such a significant disconnect between the state and the train wreck there and services that they receive, whether, I mean, a lot of us probably don't even know, is it from the state, is it from the city, is it from the
county,
is it from the feds? We just know that something gets taken care of somewhere.
Right. Somewhere, someday, somehow.
So, but you don't think that all this discussion about the hole in California, that all the discussion about redevelopment agencies being taken back by the state, all the discussions about flat sales, about the cost of doing business, all this discussion in California, you really think that people are sitting back in town, XYZ, California, and going, wow, it hasn't seemed to hurt me?
Well, I think the public is mindful of that. But until you actually experience it, when you're saying, well, you know, I got a lot of potholes that popped up on my street this winter, can you come and fix them? And the response is, no, we won't be able to do that this year. Or, you know, that overlay project we had on South Fortuna Boulevard scheduled for a capital project this coming year, we're not going to do that because we don't have the funding for it. And so those kinds of things, and what it does is it just pushes you back farther and farther. And anybody who is mindful of the county road dilemma, which is no money to fix roads or even to do basic maintenance, understands that. And Fortuna is not known for its high expensive roadway. We've always been living right on the edge. Well, we're getting farther and farther behind. So those will be the kinds of things that the public will probably say, oh, it's now affecting me. It's out right out in front of my house. I got a big hole out there and the city won't fix it. And they'll be angry about it, and rightfully so. But we won't be in a situation where we can.
Rightfully angry?
They're angry because, I think rightfully, because this is one of the reasons why everything was taken care of. How come this has happened? And it really isn't a failure of their local government that's let them down. It's their state government that lets them down.
But it could be their voting. I mean, how many bonds have we passed in the last 20 years?
Well, I understand that. But you're right.
How much has government grown in the last 20? I mean, you can start. There was an interesting discussion. Was it one of the community comments? It was about Prop 13. I think it was Fred Nelson last week talking about Prop 13. And it clicked to me. That's almost now 40 years ago.
It is.
How often can you continue to go back and beat up on something that was that long ago as the boogeyman?
Mm-hmm.
Not too many things have changed. And California has gone through those boom times.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just stupid about it.
Well, we squandered the money on...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. You're playing it very safe for somebody who's only a short term. 442, we'll be back with more from Dwayne Riggi.
We'll wait for...
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 4:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dwayne Riggi. Dwayne, do you see anything out there in 5 years, for Fortuna specifically, that is going to change anything fundamentally in how either government will be functioning or government will be able to function?
I think government will function because we expect these services, and we as a community will survive. This is certainly not the end of the world. It's not the end of anything. I don't see 5 years out of anything coming in. There's a difference in budgeting issues where you know you had a shortfall because of something. Something happened, and so you have a shortfall that's going to last a year or so. And we've had economic downturns, and that's been the history. They're a relatively short duration, maybe a year, year and a half. They're kind of U-shaped curve, and they pop back up the other side, and you just kind of hold your breath through the whole thing and make do and coast through it. This is not one of those, and this is the prediction. It's flat, and now with the redevelopment agency dropout, which was not on my radar screen last November. the possibility was there, but I really didn't think that that's the way it was going to go. And I'm probably in a bus full of people that thought the same thing. How could this have happened? But it has a dramatic effect, and it will have continually effect. So on a lot of areas in California, but in Fortuna, the effect is now, and it's there is no change next year and the year after that. This is going to be a term that's been used before, a new normal, a smaller, less services, less everything else, because I don't see anything that's going to come to Fortuna or develop in Fortuna that's going to create a tax base for the city government.
That's what I was going
to
ask about
to
with
restore
retail.
These services. Retail is about the only thing that could happen.
It could be a quick kill. You know, something in a year or two could be there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the staff to be able to go out and to try to attract somebody?
No.
Into the county?
No, we don't.
So you're kind of between,
mm-hmm.
I hate that phrase. You're kind of between A and B. How's that?
Okay, I'll do the A and B part.
I would think that would be something that would be very tempting and a more palatable option,
right,
than increasing fees at a time when you're decreasing service.
I'm a big fan of letting private sector make it all happen. And
is the property zoned either by DeBaney's properties around Strong Creek or the old mill site? If somebody came in today and said, Dwayne, by golly, I love Fortuna.
And I'd like to do
XYZ. I wanna, or put in another hotel out by Riverwalk. Are those things permitted to the point where they could really get things rolling very quickly?
The mill site, no. We have the general plan's been adopted, and that's one of the issues that we're moving forward, which is getting the zoning for a mixed zone in that area, which would allow significant retail. Part of that to get it happening is our staff. We have a lot of kettles on the stove. So it hasn't made a huge step forward, but it's got to be done by the Planning Commission, and we have to essentially get the Planning Commission ready for this so they know what the issues and items are. And we've had a property owner that is encouraging, but this isn't the biggest issue that this property owner's got. He's got other major things that they have to do first. And if there was a property owner behind it, I guarantee it would probably go a lot faster.
So there, it could be done, but urgency isn't there right now.
We don't have the funds to push it much faster because we have some annexation issues. We have some other things that go back to the lodging industry in the Riverwalk area. And those all take time. And when you have, a staff of two.
Can you compress time?
Can we?
Is there a way? Is that something that some of the communities dealing with this similar situation, have they been able to compress time to get some of these things through a little bit quicker?
You can compress time if your public allows you to compress time. There's a certain amount of hearings that things we have to do and due diligence, but a lot of times it is you can't go any faster because people aren't ready to go any faster.
Well, we all know everybody around here is just embracing lightning like nobody's business, huh?
Right.
Thanks for coming by, Dwayne. You could say okay.
Okay.
All right. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love and see you tomorrow.